We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Rebecca Inkroat. She's a web designer and WordPress consultant for handmade business owners. Since 2016, Rebecca has been dedicated to helping handmade sellers elevate and take control of their businesses with their own website. She offers website tips, tutorials, and an online web course too. On today's episode, we are talking about transitioning away from third-party platforms like Etsy and into your own e-commerce site. And Rebecca shares three ways to simplify that transition. Enjoy. Hey, Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited for our chat today. What is the biggest mistake that you see product-based business owners making when it comes to their website or e-commerce shop?
I think the biggest mistake is skipping out on some of the real foundational pieces of the business and just jumping right into getting a website. A lot of people think having a website is going to legitimize them. And so they kind of want it done right off the bat when they first start their business. It's one of the first things that people are thinking of, oh, I need to get my business online. But there's a lot more pieces that should be in place and more set in stone, I think, before you start getting into the website. Otherwise, you're just going to have to keep redoing things over and over again. So some of the pieces that I really think you should have in place first would be having like a solidified brand. And the branding is not just the visual aspects, but kind of just knowing who you are, what you're selling, what you stand for, kind of your position in the market. And part of that would include, you know, knowing who your ideal customer is and knowing your unique selling proposition, like what makes you different and why are people going to purchase from you, and just dialing that in and getting your product line figured out a little bit more settled, because there's a lot of experimentation that you're going to do in the beginning with testing your products, tweaking them a little bit based on feedback. So before you go making all these listings and taking all these photos, and building out this whole website that's branded to be for a certain ideal customer, and then you decide, oh, actually, I'm going to pivot, and then you have to redo all that website stuff over again. I just think it makes sense to start out on Etsy or start in in-person markets and stuff like that before you really get heavy into like your own website.
I could not agree with you more. I'm over here nodding my head yes ferociously, because those business foundations, those pieces that you talked about, are so critical. I would push forward a little bit and say your product has to be solid, and then you need to think about your branding, because a lot of times we fall into, a lot of product makers, and myself included, I fell into it. It was kind of a creative hobby that people started asking to buy things from me, and you know, it evolves, the product line evolves, and that brand evolves as well. Your audience evolves, who you're speaking to evolves. So that was all really great advice. Thank you for sharing that. Now, how did you land in this niche of helping handmade business owners get off of Etsy and onto their own e-commerce platforms?
Well, it's kind of just a blend of my two worlds. When I was like in middle school, I started teaching myself web design. It's always been like a thing for me since, you know, early 2000s. And I taught myself HTML, and I was always like, yeah, I'm going to be a web designer and I'm going to be a computer science major. But I loved art and I liked doing crafts and stuff. And my friends always said, you know, you're going to be an art major. And I said, no, I'm not. Well, then I ended up being an art major, majored in graphic design. And in 2011, I picked up a soap making hobby. So I started with candles and I didn't really like that. So then I got into soap, and then that was like, oh, I fell into being a business. I was like, oh, I should sell these. And then that led me to like lots of Facebook groups for handmade sellers, because they're all in business and they're sharing networking and tips and things. And in those Facebook groups is where I found so many people who were confused about websites and asking questions. What platform are you on? What should I do for this? What should I do for that? And I just kept jumping in and answering because, like, that's my day job. So I was like, oh, I know all this stuff. I can help all these people. And so then it was like, wow, this type of market, the artistic people, a lot of them are tech averse and they really would like help in that area. And so that's yep. when I stumbled into teaching and helping others with their websites, whether
that's awesome.
Whether it's like, you know, building websites for them or just teaching them. Either way, I like doing both.
That's awesome. We have a very similar story. You know, I joined Etsy in 2008 when I had Kelp Designs, my stationery brand. And I will say it was such an easy way for me to take my products to market without having to invest heavily on the tech side of building that new site. Etsy eliminated a barrier to entry for me. And I think it's a really great tool for people that are starting out. You know, of course, things have changed so much since I was on it. That was, you know, Etsy wholesale has come and gone and the pricing structure for Etsy has changed so much. But what growing pains are you seeing in brands that perhaps started on Etsy or another third-party platform, and then they wanted to move to their own site? Where do those pains start, and how do they know it's kind of time to make a shift?
There's a lot of different little indicators that it might be time to start thinking about your own website. One of them is if you're doing really well on Etsy, the way that their platform is structured in terms of fees, the more you sell, the more you pay. Because it's, you know, kind of a percentage based. So right. it's the more you sell, the more you pay. Whereas a website is kind of more of a fixed expense. So the more you sell, the more you keep. So there's a tipping point there. And mm-hmm. in addition to that, some people want to start selling things that are not handmade, but that complement their product. So in terms, like I'm thinking soap making, because that's kind of the arena that I have been in.
Of course.
People want to sell like loofahs or little soap dishes or things like that go with it, or like a little gift basket, but you're limited on Etsy to only things that you've handmade, or, you know, you've got your handmade partner or whatever, your production partner. So
right.
if people want to start doing like gift baskets and complimentary products, another time people start to get frustrated with Etsy is you don't really own your customers. I don't mean like own your customers, but you don't own your customer list. You don't have the ability just to like reach out through email. You're really limited on what types of communications that you can send through the Etsy platform before it's like considered spam. So you want to be able to get your own email list and get your own kind of loyalty built up where people are like, oh, I bought this on Etsy versus, oh, I bought this on Oceanside Naturals or Kelp Designs, or, you know, when people mm-hmm. start to name your brand rather than I just got this on Etsy. So I would say those are kind of the main growing pains that I see where people decide, okay, it's time.
And then like, let's flip that around. The benefits of having your own e-commerce website. Let's talk about that. I mean, it's similar to what you just went over, but there's more than that too, right?
Oh, for sure. Being able to fully customize the customer journey. So when somebody discovers you and they land on your website, and being able to fully customize the way that looks to make it completely on brand, to create like an immersive experience for your customers where they really get to feel, especially if you have something that you really stand for, if your products, you know, maybe you're donating to charity with all of your products and you're really helping to employ women who wouldn't otherwise have like opportunities. I know of a mitten seller. She sells handmade mittens made from recycled wool sweaters. All of her mittens are made by stay-at-home moms local to her. So she employs and she, you know, she pays like per pair that they finish or whatever. And it's people who wouldn't really want to get a traditional job, but they get to, you know, so that's a big part of her branding. And she would want to highlight that and really emphasize that. And when you own your own website, you can really customize that and customize the way the shop looks, customize the way the checkout experience flows, check out what the shipping options are. You can just really get your hands on all the pieces and make them exactly how you want. Whereas Etsy, you get what you get. You get your profile image, you get your banner image, and that's about it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right too. I mean, going back to what you had said earlier about email too, you can create onboarding email sequences to welcome people that join your email list. You can do cart abandonment email. Like there's a lot you can do in your own sphere that you can't do when you're tied to a third party, mm-hmm. whether it's Etsy or somebody else.
Right.
So, okay, let's back up a bit here. Creating a new website can feel like a huge expensive project, particularly for a young business, right? Mm-hmm. So what strategies do you have to make that an easy transition if they are working with something like Etsy and they want to move into their own e-commerce platform? Like, what are the steps you would recommend there?
So I recommend taking it slow, step by step. You don't have to go out and just create this whole entire e-commerce website right off the bat. What you can do at first, step one, would be just to get your domain name registered. And this is kind of like you rent it. You pay every year to keep renewing your domain name. You don't just like buy it once and own it, but you just get it. And it's about $10, maybe $15 a year. It's very affordable. Like there's no reason not to get your brand name as a domain name. And you can just in the settings after you buy it, point it to your Etsy shop or point it to wherever third party. Even if you're just selling on Facebook, point it to your Facebook page, whatever you want to do, point it to wherever you're primarily located currently. Mm-hmm. So there's step one.
Well, and let me pause you for a moment. The reason you want to do that, guys, is because then anytime you're talking about your brand, you can say, go to, in my case, proofedproduct.com, and it will point to wherever I'm going, you know? And so if you have your brand URL, you absolutely want to get that as quickly as you can and point that to your shop, wherever that might be.
Definitely. So. It helps with like brand recognition. It's just easier to say rather than saying shop.etsy.slash, you know,
right.
Trying to right. give people your shop name. And then especially on any kind of printed materials, if you have business cards, flyers, any of that, go ahead and put your domain name. Yep. So then the second step would be, then you can go ahead and create your own website, but you don't necessarily have to worry about the e-commerce bit right off the bat. And that even might help you out with expenses too, because sometimes the e-commerce bit is a little bit, makes it a little more expensive to do. So just right. get your own website, and on your main navigation, you can put your shop menu item, or maybe you have your product categories listed out as your navigation, but just go ahead and link those over to wherever you are selling, whatever platform you are. So for Etsy, if you had your product categories on your main navigation, you can link those to the shop sections within Etsy. And that way people will get your branding and they'll see your own website and it'll legitimize your business. It'll help you create that loyalty. And then the shopping bit can take place on Etsy. So then you're like not dealing with two separate platforms at the beginning.
Right.
Then when you're done with that and you're feeling comfortable with that, on the back end, you can start building out your e-commerce while your website is live. One thing I see people doing is they don't want to go live with their website until they have the e-commerce bit finished. But that can take a while, especially like building out all of those listings. There are ways, of course, to export your listings off of Etsy and then import them into your site, but it's still going to take time. So this is a way that you can have your website up and then work on the e-commerce on the backside. And then the third step would be having your own full-on website with e-commerce.
I love how you talk about scaffolding it, because I think that does break down the fear that people have around, oh my gosh, I got to build out this whole new site and I have 200 SKUs and all those product listings and photos and, you know, all the different details that need to go into it. It can be very overwhelming. I know we redid our site earlier last year and it's not e-commerce, you know, so I know how it can feel very overwhelming. So I really like that concept of breaking it down, especially for newer businesses that are just getting started, how to leverage these tools that are available like Etsy until you're ready to kind of move it over. Now, you offer full service website design and development for brands, but you also have a lot of courses and educational tools to help those that want to kind of DIY it. So tell us about your programs.
Yeah, so I do offer one-to-one services like consulting, or just I build websites for clients. And that is starting to take a little bit of a backseat. I'm not phasing it out completely, but this year, a transition for me is to put more of my resources into my YouTube channel and into my primary flagship course, which is called Create, Launch, and Flourish. And that is where I teach handmade business owners how to build their own website using the WordPress and WooCommerce platform. I do have like a mini course. It's free right now. I'm thinking of adding to it, maybe changing that up a little bit. But yeah, my primary course is like a full on everything from start to finish, from picking your hosting all the way to launching the e-commerce.
Wow. It sounds like too, it's a mix of like how to accomplish these things, but also the education behind it of what's hosting, what's this, what's that, like all the different pieces that can sometimes.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of background information. If you're not in web design as a profession, you just don't know what you don't know. And so there's a lot of education that goes into it. Cause my goal is to help people feel empowered. One thing when I was just primarily like before I started my course, when I was just doing websites for people, what would get me so frustrated is people would come to me for a website and maybe they already had a website built before by another web designer and they didn't even know, like the business owner didn't know how to log in, get in, how to access their domain name. They didn't know what platform it was built on. They couldn't edit it. They had to go to their designer every time they wanted a little change. And they basically were handcuffed to their previous designer until they like totally started all over again. And that drove me crazy because they just didn't know anything about how websites worked or what pieces they should have access to. And so it's been kind of a mission to me, for me to educate my clients. Like when I build a website for you, I don't own your domain. I don't even have, like, I help you do that. I help you sign up for hosting. When we're done, I train you to do your own updates so that you don't have to come to me every time. So it's just really important to me that the business owners understand how their website works, what pieces are in place, and how to do it themselves a little bit.
I love that. That was actually one of the main criteria I had when we were hiring a developer for our rebrand and redesign of our site, of like, I want us to have full and complete control and access to make changes and updates, because you're right. There are some designers and developers that, you know, everything has to flow through them and it may work for their business model, but it didn't work for mine. And so I agree with you on that. You know, you mentioned WooCommerce and WordPress. Are those your favorite tech tools or what do you think about Shopify?
I had not used Shopify until last year, 2019. I, you know, finally dove in because I had only heard good things about Shopify pretty much. So I was like, okay, I gotta see what it's about. And it is a really good platform. It's not my preference still.
Okay, tell me why.
I just feel, and maybe it's just because, you know, when you get into something new and you just, it takes a while to get into it. And where I've been with WordPress since 2013, like really deep into it, I just feel so comfortable with WordPress and I know exactly how to accomplish everything I want to do. I know exactly what plugin to use. I know exactly what, you know, I've got my one theme that I go to for everything that I can just completely customize everything that I could possibly want. And when then I started working with a couple of clients with Shopify, it was like, okay, I know how to do this in WordPress, but how do I do it in Shopify? And it just felt like a grind, like trying to figure it out, like seemed harder to me, but also I have a different mind. You know, I'm coming from it more on the web design techie side, whereas I think your average business owner is going to get along really well with Shopify. I think it's probably a lower barrier to entry than WordPress, but I think you might have a little less control and like ability to really dig your hands in there and get messy and, you know, make it exactly what you want, unless you're going to start adding on a bunch of apps, which can be a little bit cost prohibitive because a lot of Shopify's apps are like, okay, $8 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. And then you start adding all that up and then your website costs you, you know, $100 a month. When you started, you thought it was only going to be $29.
Totally. Interestingly enough, I was on WordPress for a long time. Again, not with an e-commerce component, but we ended up switching to Squarespace when we redid our site last year. And I really grappled with the decision because I had a lot of designers and developers telling me, I think you're going to outgrow Squarespace. I think similar to kind of what you're talking about, the different apps and this and that you'll need to add. And I was looking for good user interface for the back end as well as the front end, if that makes sense. So like I wanted it to be very simple for my team to edit and change things. And, you know, everyone from me down to our admin assistant, so to speak. But there are things, and so that's why we ended up going with Squarespace. We'd also had some security issues in WordPress that I was tired of dealing with. But I think it's the kind of the same idea with Shopify, right? Like the Shopify platform is similar to Squarespace in that it's kind of a ready-made yes. plug and play type of thing, but it isn't a leg up from the third-party platforms like Etsy and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. Squarespace is another really strong website platform. Like if anybody came to me and said, I want to build a website, which platform? I would, of course, need to know more about you and your business because your skill right. level and what you're trying to accomplish are huge factors. But for a simple, beautiful, minimalistic type design where you want it to be so easy, especially for a service-based business or a non-product-based business, Squarespace would be hands down what I would recommend for that.
Yeah.
But when you start to get into product-based, I think that Shopify and WordPress with WooCommerce have a lot more functionality in terms of product-based businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right too. All right. Well, what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe currently on a site like Etsy, a third-party platform, and they're considering moving to their own? I know we talked about the three steps, but like what piece of advice do you want them to like really think through before they make that move?
I think choosing a platform is a huge roadblock, and people, they'll go onto the Facebook group and they'll say, I'm about to build a website. Which platform should I use?
Which is also the worst question you could ask in a Facebook group
really because you will get
inundated with different answers.
And what works for somebody might not work for someone else. Whatever you're trying 100%. To accomplish, what type of business you have, what type of features you're going to need, it really, really depends because certain platforms will work really well for some people and they will not work for others. So I think spending some time doing a bit of research and comparing the platforms, which is difficult because a lot of it is just marketing jargon and you have to cut through that and understand, okay, well, what is the actual technical piece that they're talking about, like behind the marketing, totally. Like, oh, we do SEO. Okay. Well, if you actually know what SEO is, you know that you do your own SEO. Your website doesn't provide that for you. It can't. So mm-hmm. you just see all these flashy marketing gimmicks and you have to be able to cut through that and understand what you're looking at in terms of platforms and which one yeah. is going to end up working for you. And part of it is just getting in and starting playing with them. So it might be a little bit of a cost upfront to like invest in multiple platforms, but it might help you see like, oh, you start going down this path and you realize this isn't going to work because of XYZ.
Right.
I think maybe just instead of jumping in and like devoting yourself to one platform, maybe keep your options open a little at the beginning. Just because I've seen a lot of people start with one platform and then go down a little bit and then realize, oh, it can't do this. And mm-hmm. then they realize they have to switch. And if they've already spent 40 hours, you know, making it perfect and all their branding and design is perfect, but then they realize like the core functionality they need doesn't work. And then they're just like, yeah. I can't believe I've sunk all this time into perfecting this website that doesn't do what I need it to do. So I think exploring.
That's great advice for any technology that we're considering for our businesses. I think there's so much marketing jargon out there and really honing in on what your core needs are for your business and how you plan to use the e-commerce site and, you know, all those details of what you want, what bells and whistles. I think that's great advice. So thank you for sharing it. You know, what's next for you in the coming year? What are you planning to do? How do you want to serve people more?
Right. So I think every business is always in transition.
Oh, yes.
But to me, I feel like I'm in a very, very transitional space right now. In October of 2018, I had my first baby. And so now, like being a mom, and I'm, you know, staying at home with her, but also trying to run a business has been like a total reality check. And
yes.
So that's part of the reason why I'm working towards moving primarily to my YouTube channel and my course instead of like fully on one-to-one. Plus my husband mm-hmm. and I just moved and now we're in like a very rural town with pretty much no internet.
Oh gosh, that makes it hard to have an online business, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, it does. So yeah, it's just been a really interesting change for our family and
yeah.
going forward in the future, I really see educating as what my passion is. I love doing the design too. So I don't think I'll ever be able to let that go completely, but I really do love the moment when a concept clicks with a student and they're like, oh my God, I get it. Or I finally did this. I launched this. I built out this page. I finally did this. I just love that. I live for it. So definitely education, my YouTube channel and the course is kind of my future.
Those are the focus. I think it's amazing. I think this is a much needed service, particularly for the younger businesses who don't have a lot of money to spend on help and they don't necessarily have the skills or knowledge themselves. And so having a way to watch your YouTube videos and read your blog posts, and you have some really amazing resources on your website for people too about choosing platforms and, you know, all the different things they need to consider. So as I was sitting here, I was thinking she should make a quiz of which platform is right.
I have thought about it. And I have thought about a flowchart or like an interactive quiz. It's definitely a thought. I might have to do it.
I think it would be super helpful. And like helping them figure out what their needs are. I think that's one of the things, just from my own personal experience. And again, it wasn't an e-commerce site, but like, what do I need? What do I need in my site? Sometimes you need a menu of options in front of you to be like, oh yeah, I need that. I don't need that. Yes, I would like that. That's a nice to have. And I think sometimes people don't know what the options are when they're fresh to something like this, or they've been using a platform like Etsy where everything's just built in and they've been limited in certain ways. So yeah, I think that would be a great tool for you to build. And I know our audience will love it.
All right. Well, I'll look into that.
Well, I'm not trying to give you homework on our podcast episode. Yeah.
Like I don't already have 800 million ideas.
I know.
Probably every business owner's situation.
Well, plus you've got a little one at home now too. Yeah. So I know how tough that is of managing family and work as well. So, well, where can people find you online to learn more about your educational programs, your services, your YouTube channel? And we'll be sure to include these links in the show notes for anyone that's trying to catch you.
Yeah, great. My website is bexmarie.com, which is BexMarie. Bex is kind of my nickname growing up as a kid. And so my YouTube channel, I have kind of like a short link set up. So if you go to bexmarie.com/YouTube, you can get to my YouTube channel. And then I also have a Facebook group, and that's free. If you go to creativebiz.club, that will take you right to my Facebook group. So
awesome. And in there, you're talking about websites and product stuff.
Oh yeah. All kinds of handmade business talk going on in there. And a lot of people gravitate there to ask, especially WordPress questions, because I'm just like totally geeking out.
Because that's your jam. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for your time today. This was a lot of fun.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proofyourproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.